Shalom, Mishpucha. Shalom, family. Mishpucha, it's a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpucha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people that are one new man in Messiah Yeshua, Messiah Jesus. Getting ready, Mishpucha, to blow the grandest shofar or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest, Sharon Allen, she's one of the 10 Jewish people that I put in my book, They Thought for Themselves. And this is a book of 10 Jewish people from every walk of life, from a Jewish concert pianist to a Jewish PhD to a Jewish mega millionaire, to Jewish people that are secular, Jewish people that are religious. But they had one thing in common. They thought for themselves. And they became believers in the Messiah. My guest this week is Sharon Allen. She has a fascinating story. She was raised in an observant Jewish home in New York City. She got married to a Jewish man, had a child, got divorced, moved out to the West Coast, got into the real estate business, and married the fellow she was in business with. Only one problem. He loved everything Jewish. He was active in their synagogue. But when it came time for him to convert to traditional Judaism, he said, I'll do anything because I love everything Jewish, but I won't renounce Jesus. Sharon was horrified because although she knew he was raised in a Christian home, he never spoke about church. He never spoke about Jesus. Everything he did was Jewish. Everything Sharon did was Jewish. And so she was so distraught. She couldn't understand how this wonderful businessman that loves everything Jewish could even be interested in Jesus. So what happened, Sharon?
As I said, I was actually in horror at this thought that that all of a sudden my husband says he can't renounce that man. And so, but in the midst of all of this, I had this thought, I'll just begin to read my Jewish Bible. And I'd start at page one, and pretty soon I would find a scripture that would prove to my husband that that man could never have been the fulfillment of the Jewish Bible.
Now, who did you think Yeshua was at that time from your training?
Well, at the time, you know, you grow up in America, and you kind of think that it's Roman mythology. I thought Jesus, was Roman mythology, you know, the idea of the virgin birth, and it was all mishuganah to me. It didn't make sense. But I thought, oh, well, it's good for the Gentile people. They don't have the one true God, but through Jesus, they have a good code of ethics, and they have learned about the one true God. So, but it was okay for them, but it wasn't okay for me and for my family, because my family is Jewish. We pray directly. You know, until later when I studied and I realized that Moses brought the Israelites to Mount Sinai and wanted to hear the voice of God. And when the Israelites heard the voice of God, they said, no, Moses, you speak to God for us. But God originally, you know, wanted to be one-on-one. So I always...
So did you figure like one night of looking over the Torah, the Jewish scriptures, would be all you'll need to convince your husband, as you put it, this mishigas, which means craziness?
Yeah, I didn't think it would take me long, and pretty soon I would find that scripture that would prove that, you know, that man couldn't have been the fulfillment of the Jewish Bible, because I knew. There was one thing that I knew for sure, and that was that everything that God wanted us Jews to know about his Jewish Messiah, so that we Jews could recognize him when he would come, would be in my Jewish scriptures. So I went to the family room and I took down my Jewish Bible. Every Jewish home has their Jewish Bible. Now I have many Bibles, but at the time I had my Hebrew Bible and took it down from the shelf and I opened it up to the first page and I prayed this prayer. I said, Dear God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, please show me the truth about your Messiah so I can make my husband Jewish. And I proceeded to read. And my daughter went off to school that morning, and my husband went off to work, and there I was sitting and reading page after page after page. And hours later...
By the way, hadn't you read the Bible before?
You know, as Jewish... You know, Jewish people, we think we know what's in our own Hebrew scriptures because as children, we go to yeshiva, we go to Hebrew school, and as adults, we go every Shabbos to the synagogue, and we hear a Torah portion, a portion from the Torah, five books of Moses, and we hear a Haftorah portion, a portion from the prophets. And because of this, we think we know what's in our own Jewish Bible. But something completely different happened when I began to read page after page after page.
By the way, I was raised in a traditional Jewish synagogue, and I went to the synagogue, and I heard the first five books of the Jewish scriptures, the Torah, and portions of the prophets, but I heard it all in Hebrew, and guess how many words of Hebrew I could speak? Maybe three or four. So it was like sitting in a foreign language. So anyway, you're sitting down, you're starting with Genesis.
Yes.
So by the end of the evening, did you have your evidence?
You know what? My husband came home from work and my daughter came home from school and I was still reading. And the next morning, I was still reading page after page and my daughter went to school and my husband went off to work and hours later my daughter came home from school and my husband came home from work and I was still reading page after page after page. And this went on for days, it went on for weeks, it went on for months. I couldn't believe what I was finding in my own Jewish Bible.
What was one of the first things you found that made a major impact on you?
Many things, you know, but I think that for me, the Malach Hashem. Now, Malach Hashem, in the English Bibles, it says angel of the Lord. And when you say angel of the Lord, you have this picture of a created being that could be the same angel or different angel occurring each time. But you have this picture of it being a created angel. But Malach Hashem, Malach, in Hebrew, it means messenger, and Hashem, we're saying the name. Hashem means the name, because Jewish people do not pronounce the Hebrew letters Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, which is the ineffable name of God, the tetragrammaton, the name for God that we Jews don't even pronounce. In prayers, we say Adonai, but we do not pronounce the four letters that are the name of God. And so here is, and I will call him the Malach Hashem out of respect. And each time the Malach Hashem appears, and in your Bibles it would say angel of the Lord, but everywhere this unique messenger appears, the people recognize him as God, and they are fearing for their lives, and they fall on their face. And they say that they're going to die because they've seen God face to face. And instead of this Malach Hashem saying to them, no, 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 don't fear for your lives. I'm not God. I'm just a mere created being. I'm just an angel. Don't worry. I'm not God. He doesn't correct them. But what he does say is shalom. He gives them peace. And in Hebrew, shalom, I know we know it as hello and goodbye and peace, but it also means psychological wholeness. In other words, this unique messenger recognizes that these people are in terror for their lives, and he's giving them psychological wholeness, but he never corrects them. And each time, through the Bible, each time the patriarchs or anyone meets him, that is their immediate reaction. They fall on their face in fear. In Judges, we meet Manoah, and a very interesting thing happens. Manoah recognizes the Malach Hashem as God, and he also falls on his face and fears for his life, and the Malach, this messenger, comforts him and gives him psychological wholeness through saying shalom. And Manoah is so excited and wants to know what he can do that he actually offers sacrifice to this Malach, this messenger. And if this messenger was an angel, an angel cannot accept sacrifice. Only God. We only sacrifice to God. And so Manoah offers this sacrifice, and the Malach Hashem allows it. And not only that, but as the flames are going up into the skies. The Malach Hashem goes into the flames, raises up into the heavens, and Manoah says, this is Peli. And the Hebrew word Peli is, which means wonderful, this miraculous, wonderful thing that has happened. Peli is a Hebrew word that is only used when we're talking about God.
Now, that had to be pretty shocking to you. Hold that thought. We'll pick up right here on tomorrow's broadcast. Mishpucha, a number of years ago, God directed me to do a television show that was designed to reach Jewish people in a way different than any other television show has ever been done. I call it It's Supernatural. The issue is not being Jewish and believing in Jesus. The issue is not being born again. The issue isn't even the fact that I happen to be Jewish and a believer in Jesus. The issue is an investigation of something miraculous. Interviewing people that have intimacy with God, that hear from God, that miracles take place in the name of Yeshua. At the end of the broadcast, I give them an opportunity to come to know the Messiah the way my guest knows the Messiah, the way I know the Messiah. And we have just gone on a major secular television station. We went on the Fox television station in Charlotte, North Carolina. 7:30 to 8 a.m. is the morning news, something that everyone watches. It's the number one watched television station in the Charlotte, North Carolina area. But right after the news, the immediate program is It's Supernatural. We have just taken out advertisements in the biggest newspaper in Charlotte, North Carolina, to direct people to the program. I am so excited about the opportunity for Jewish people to think for themselves. We're offering our book actually in three different languages, Russian, Hebrew, and English. And wait till you hear about the big breakthrough in Israel. I'll talk about it tomorrow. But this week, I want to send you, as a love gift, the English version of the book They Thought for Themselves that God told me to write, of which Sharon Allen is one of the testimonies in it. Read it yourself and then give it to the Jewish person God has had cross your path and help us pour money into Jewish evangelism at this set time to favor Zion. If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha, or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. Or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape or CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or archives of our radio and TV shows, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.